This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks for being with us. Coming up this hour on the show, the 12 DAs of Christmas. Number 9, a woman of the church that comes your way in about 18 minutes from now. Also later on in the hour, for sound check, I will give you the best audio of the weekend, I promise. It'll lighten your mood and make you feel proud. I promise you'll enjoy it. And Jim Lampley with an emotional farewell after perhaps calling his final boxing match over the weekend. Next hour on the show, a couple of former offensive linemen turned NFL analysts will join us, Jeff Schwartz and Max Starks. Can I just add this to a Football Monday? Harold Baines gets into Cooperstown, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. How Harold Baines gets in, I don't know. I don't know. Harold Baines was a very good hitter. Harold Baines was an excellent DH. But Harold Baines being immortalized seems crazy. The moment this news came down yesterday on my social media feeds, I had to scramble to see if this was the actual Baseball Hall of Fame or perhaps the White Sox Hall of Fame or perhaps the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame or his hometown's Hall of Fame or his college's Hall of Fame or the College Baseball Hall of Fame. It didn't make any sense to me that Harold Baines would make the baseball, like the Baseball Hall of Fame. So then I just started scrolling through Twitter, searching Harold Baines, and what I found was most people felt like me. Actually, all people felt like me. What? Baines got in? Baines? And I just thought to myself, boy, I hope Harold Baines doesn't go on Twitter tonight. Because this is the greatest moment of his life, I'm guessing, maybe outside of your children being born, your wedding day, something like that. But you make Cooperstown, and everybody's just thrashing you on Twitter. So I'm like, I'm just hoping he doesn't open up Twitter going, man, I can't wait to bask in the glory. Let's see what people are saying about me. Oh, gosh. It'd be a real downer. But also, and I apologize for taking time out of the top of an hour on an NFL Monday for this, but is this the ultimate news dump? Cooperstown announced its inductees on a Sunday with the NFL going on? Like, why didn't they wait until Tuesday morning? Why would the Baseball Hall of Fame announce this in the middle of an NFL weekend? Number one, it might make sense to do this type of vote, you know, in the spring or the summer. But let's even say that you've got to prepare travel-wise, Cooperstown weekend, induction type of stuff. Okay, fine. Wait until Tuesday or Wednesday to do this. Why are they putting it smack dab in the middle of NFL stuff?
I'll tell you, there's two reasons why. Number one, it's not the real committee. It's whatever the veterans committee. Number two, yesterday was the start of the winter meeting. So if they put it Tuesday, it's just going to get lost in whatever baseball hot stove comes out over the next 4 days.
All right, we'll do it last Wednesday.
That's probably fair, yes.
Can you believe this is the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I've got like, oh, my God, the Patriots lost. Look at this throw by Patrick Mahomes. Can you believe Amari Cooper? That's about 100 of my tweets. And then Harold Baines elected a Hall of Fame. I'm like, wait a second. They're trying to shoehorn this little nugget in between a massive day of NFL football? What are you trying to do? You are trying to be ignored.
Well, they got you to talk about him in the second hour of a football Sunday where you normally wouldn't talk baseball today.
Okay. I don't think that was their key. I don't think that's what they were looking for.
We never talk about this, and now we are.
I'm doing it because of how ludicrous it was. I'm not even mentioning Lee Smith. I wouldn't mention Lee Smith because Lee Smith belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Who? I mean, that's a joke.
So, I'm saying, who else? Who else in America today is talking about Harold Baines getting to the Hall of Fame?
Everybody now.
I guess because it's Harold Baines. But it just is the ultimate ridiculousness of all the days that it would get swallowed up. It would be yesterday. Let's pick December of a middle of the end. Even do it on Saturday during Army-Navy. Do it Saturday at noon. Anything except 4 o'clock on the East Coast in the middle of an NFL Sunday.
And the best part is, Harold Baines later admitted he was shocked when he got the call. For two reasons. A, that they were having some kind of vote. And B, that he got in.
Even he was shocked. What? I'm in? You sure you want me?
Didn't even know he was up.
The Chicago Bears last night did something that no team has done since Sean McVay took over the Los Angeles Rams. Held the Rams without a touchdown.
4th and 10 from the 44. Snap back to Goff. Bears are bringing pressure. McManus, the throw is intercepted by Amukamara at the Bear 40. He goes down near the 48-yard line. And the Bears have taken away 4 of Jared Goff's throws. And that one in the fourth quarter could be the final blow.
As sluggish as we were on offense, and that's a credit to Coach Phillips and their defense, how they played. Our defense just really, really played on another level.
That was Jeff Joniak, Bears Radio, and Matt Nagy. That's a really well-coached football team. That's a really, really smart, well-coached football team. I think it was hard to really decipher when Trubisky was out because Chase Daniel obviously is nothing to really write home about. But Nagy just has a lot of elements of Andy Reid. I mean, he's just creative offensively. Look at the ways they've scored touchdowns recently. A lot of trick plays, a lot of misdirection. They've been creative, and they are surviving and thriving because that defense is so damn ferocious. I know it was cold last night. I know it was outdoors. I know it was on grass. Okay, so maybe the Rams would feel different inside of a dome like in New Orleans or at home in Los Angeles. But what they did to the Rams last night, picking off Goff 4 times and just absolutely strangling the life out of the Rams offense, was a sight to behold. I love the fact that the Bears are good, and I'll tell you why. Because it has felt as though there is no room for great defenses anymore. That the league was legislating great defense out of it. And that most games would look like Chiefs-Rams. Even though I told you that's not the future of the NFL, I just think that that's two great coaches and two great quarterbacks and two great sets of weapons. It has been seemingly far more likely to have games in the 30s than games in the teens. But what you have here is, I don't think Trubisky's a great quarterback. He's serviceable right now. At times he makes a great throw or two. But you have an elite defense, the best defense in football. And look what Khalil Mack has meant to that defense. And that elite defense in football is proving that even in a day and age where quarterbacks are rewarded and offenses are helped because of the rules and defenses are punished because of the rules, that a great defense can still win football games, and a lot of them, including against a great offense. I think it's awesome. And don't be surprised if the Bears find themselves in an NFC Championship game. Because that defense that you saw last night was clearly good enough to pull the trick against the Rams. And look, there's two offenses in the NFC that you really have to account for. Rams, Saints. If you can do that to one of those teams, who's to say you can't do that against both of those teams? Now, I don't know about trying to go on the road and do it twice. You know, they did it at home last night. And my guess is, because McVay is such a good coach, that next time around, if they face off against one another in the playoffs, they'll be better suited for it. And perhaps that game is in Los Angeles. But if the Bears' defense is going to be that great, they're filthy. And that's a filthy team to have to play in the postseason. You're going to get banged up. You're going to get frustrated. And they're well coached. I keep going back to this. They are well coached. Matt Nagy is really a solid, once again, another solid Andy Reid disciple. And last year, Andy Reid disciple won the Super Bowl in Doug Peterson. Wouldn't it be amazing if Andy Reid finds himself in a Super Bowl against his former assistant coach, Matt Nagy? Let me tell you, there's only one thing I don't trust about the Bears. One thing. Love their defense. Love their pass rush. Love their secondary. Love their linebackers. I like their quarterback. I like their ground game. I like everything about the Bears except one thing I do not trust. Nagy's visor. You're bald. It's night. It's December in Chicago. A visor? What are we doing? A visor serves no purpose. You're bald. It's nighttime. It's December. I really feel as though the Chicago Bears are a ski cap away from winning a Super Bowl. Nagy needs to wear a ski cap. At least then it's keeping the heat on the top of your head. That's where you lose your most heat, the top of your head. I got two bald guys I'm looking at right now. You guys know you lose most of your heat, your body heat, out of the top of your head. You need to have a ski cap on. Visor, it's not blocking any sun from you. You're bald. You got no protection up there. Nagy needs a ski cap for me to really totally buy in on the Bears.
But unless he's trying to breed toughness because his offensive linemen don't wear sleeves, so he doesn't wear headgear.
Well, then nothing.
Huh.
Why visor?
I don't love the visor either. I actually agree with your take, but I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. Maybe he just likes the look. Maybe it's just about fashion.
Look, I think this is what ends up happening. Matt Nagy has a peanut head. You guys actually look good with bald heads.
Oh,
both of you guys.
Thank you. You guys have
good shaped heads for being bald.
Okay? All right.
Nagy has a peanut head. And so I think he knows to fill it out so he doesn't look so peanutish, he's got to wear something, but just wear a ball cap. The visor does you no good there because you're losing the top of your head heat.
What are you, 74? Just wear a ball cap.
That's right. Yes, a Bears ball cap, no visor.
Maybe, though, that the NFL needs to sell gear. They have to have a certain number of coaches wear visors.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. They sell enough of those winter caps, we see them. Who's wearing a visor? They got to peddle those somehow.
NFLshop.com mandating Nagy wears a visor.
Right. Okay, look, we're going to give the ski caps to Todd Bowles. We'll give the visors to Matt Nagy, the baseball hats to Adam Gase, and away we go.
Todd Bowles has a good-looking bald head.
We never see it. He's wearing a ski cap all the
time.
He breaks out that ski cap September 30th.
I agree, but at press conferences, he looks good. Good head to be bald.
Bald's in. That's what gets lost here in 2018. Bald is in for the first time ever. Thank goodness it happened to me when it did. Wasn't in 20 years ago. It's in now. And I love it.
You love it.
I love it. You're cooler to be bald than you are with hair now.
That's wrong.
No, it's true. Look it up.
Look it up. Where am I going to look that up?
Just ask girls at a bar. I mean, I'm married. If I wasn't, I mean, you should see the girls that come up to me because I'm bald.
Big Papa's on the loose.
Big Papa's on the loose. You better step up your game.
When we come back, the 12 DAs of Christmas. Number 9, how dare you go after a woman of the church? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Morning, DA. How you doing? So I caught up on your Nomad show, and I really think it's excellent that you do that when you go to places. Me as a fan of your show, I now feel a little bit closer to you as a sportscaster, even as just an individual.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Brand new episode of Nomad will debut this week, so make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Find my name and Nomad on YouTube by simply searching Damon and Nomad. You'll see it there and subscribe for free, and then you'll get notified when a brand new episode is up, which is coming up this week. Coming up here on this show in about 20 minutes, I promise you the best audio of the weekend is going to make you feel good. And I think we could all use a feel-good Monday, right? I promise you will feel good about this. I think you're going to love it. It's coming up as part of Soundcheck here on the DA Show in about 20 minutes from now. But it is time to count down yet another wonderful moment, iconic moment from the DA Show's 2018. It's number 9.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Tired of it. Stayed up till midnight, get 5 hours sleep to have my ass handed to me by the freaking Eagles again.
You're actually crying.
These two guys. Let's break some more chairs, guys.
That's unfair.
You know what's unfair? Going after a 98-year-old woman of the church! Of the church!
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said,
oh,
too.
I definitely would.
I am a big boy.
Mraz, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's a hair!
What a bowl of joy you are. That's amazing!
The time is now! The place is here! And the whole wide world is filled with cheer!
Number 9. On April the 2nd, a spirited defense of Sister Jean.
Number 9.
And here she was getting wheeled out of there. Waving to the crowd, wheeled out! We got 3 minutes, Sister Jean. Can you sit in your seat a little longer? Come on!
I had enough of her.
So Schwartz had enough of her. Is Sister Jean a fraud for leaving early?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? You know, her age shouldn't change the fact that you're not allowed to leave early.
We have losers on this radio network. Losers.
I embrace not having morals, and I don't care.
Mraz hosted Easter morning in for John Kincaid, and that's his take. And bozo of the year, Peter Schwartz, is right there parroting that dopey take.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
Yeah, he's not a real fan. Yeah, I mean, she's such a fraud. Blah, 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 blah.
These two bozos can't push away from the buffet for 5 minutes. One guy's wearing a 5X t-shirt because he can't shop anywhere else, knocking over the snack machine at all hours of the night to get his 17th ho-ho.
Fat lord.
The other guy doesn't know that they don't speak Egyptian in Brazil, and they're going to challenge a woman who made it to 98 years old. 98 years old! And has devoted her life to being somebody of spirituality, of religion, and of education. Mraz and Schwartz are losers. Of the highest degree. These two will make it to a wheelchair by the age of 50. Out of gout. Diabetes.
Maybe tomorrow.
But they're going to challenge the fandom. The fandom. The dedication. Loopy takes. And it doesn't surprise me. Because all the junk food these two rats eat are just poisoning their brain. Hollow on the inside. Hollow in their skulls. Not a living treasure, 98 years old, who's devoted her life to other people. No, instead we want to hear from these two self-indulgent bozos.
What matters is our plan.
We need their takes. These two guys, who are puffed up on junk food for their entire lives. My guess is everybody that questioned Sister Jean was self-indulgent, C-student, junk food-laden losers. Which is what we have, apparently, on this radio station, which is good to know. Easter morning. Let's have these two bozos take up 4 hours of programming. Because that's what we all need to wake up to go to church and have these two losers challenging Sister Jean on Easter.
Disgraceful. Number 9 on the 12 DAs of Christmas. Disgraceful. And you know you're in the wrong when Schwartz agrees with you.
I still say I wasn't, but that's the one. Give me a Marco in that spot on Easter morning.
A woman of the church! 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. By the way, all of the 12 DAs are available on YouTube. So go to YouTube and simply search 12 DAs of Christmas 2018, and you'll have 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, and now 9 after the show. Guys, can we play the reaction of Patriots fans to that crazy play yesterday. By now, I'm sure you've seen it. By now, I'm sure you've heard it. The Dolphins need one final miracle. They run the hook and ladder play at the end of the game. The videos that were caught and then posted on social media of Patriots fans melting down were just epic. But this one really takes the cake. It's a really old Patriots fan. Old guy, white hair, kind of hunched over, standing up watching, with his son watching as well. And then his wife, the old guy's wife, comes into the room a little bit later on after she hears all of the screaming. This is how it sounded in so many New England Patriots fans' households over the course of yesterday.
Oh, my God, they won. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh,
oh my God.
Oh, my.
How do you lose like that?
Oh, my God.
How do you lose like
oh
that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
How do you lose like
they
that?
They won.
We just lost.
No, I mean, that's
last play in the game. No,
oh
no time
my
left.
God.
Grandpa, you all right?
How did that happen?
A freak play. A crazy play.
How could it happen? How could it happen? Where the f*** are they all? They gotta keep the other end of the goal line safe.
Oh, my God. You knew they were gonna do it.
Are you s*** me? Look at this.
How could it happen? How could it happen?
Look at this. How did that happen?
Oh, she makes it. That's like the grandma in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Grace, she died over 30 years ago. How did that happen?
Rusty's still in the Navy.
She wrapped up her damn cat. How did that happen?
They won.
It is so stereotypical because if you watch the video, you get the old woman, Walker, wearing basically the muumuu with the Crocs and the white socks up high. And the grandpa, instead of like how we us bozos would watch with the sweatpants and jerseys, is wearing the button-down shirt tucked into the jeans like he's, you know, about to go to casual wear.
And he's standing up in front of the TV. His pants are up around his belly button. And he's just staring going, how did that happen? How could it happen?
His granddaughter sitting behind him filming, and he's dropping every F-bomb on the planet.
Can we play the whole thing? That is so good. Just imagine old Boston guy. How could it happen?
Oh, my God, they won. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh,
oh my God.
Oh, my.
How do you lose like that?
Oh, my God.
How do you lose like
oh
that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
How do you lose like that?
They won.
We just lost.
No, I mean, that's
last play in the game. No time left.
Oh, my God.
Grandpa, you all right?
How did that happen?
A freak play. A crazy play.
How could it happen?
How
could it happen? Where the f*** are they all? They got to keep the other end of the goal line safe.
Oh, my God. You knew they were going to do it.
Are you me? Look at this.
Aren't you waiting for like a Pearl Harbor, a Battle of the Bulge reference from him? How did it happen?
Can he keep the other end of the end zone safe? Are you me? Look at this.
Look at this. Look at these damn millennials. They can't even defend a hook and lateral. How could it happen?
Still good.
So much disbelief.
And he says, oh my God, seven times. Oh my God.
Oh my.
Oh my.
How do you lose like God. That?
They won.
They won?
So oblivious is she. He's had it. And she comes in after all these years of marriage. They won?
Oh, my God.
Where the f*** are they all?
Where the hell are they all? They know they got to defend the goal line.
How did that happen?
I'm so nice to Grandma, talking slow and loud. No, they lost on the final play. And Grandpa's just stewing.
How did that happen?
How could it happen?
See, that's the one.
How could it happen?
How could it happen?
Like he's looking over a battlefield. There's just all these bodies and smoke and fire. How could it happen?
Look at this!
Look at the carnage. How could it happen?
Where was the backup?
How could Gronk be out there? How could it happen?
How could it happen?
They lost!
How did that happen?
She's also wearing socks on her slippers. I know. She's so sweet, like a house coat and a walker. She couldn't be an older lady.
Oh, how did that happen? They had Gronk lined up at the goal line, Grandma. Sorry. How did that happen? Belichick lost his mind.
Me. Look at this!
How could it happen?
The house just smells like mothballs. Plastic on the couch.
There's lemon drops on in a dish on the counter.
There's a bowl of candy from the 70s. How did that happen?
You want a Werther's?
One.
How did that happen? How could this happen?
How could it happen?
Gran Torino, get off my lawn.
How could it happen?
Oh, my.
How do you lose like that?
They won.
It's so good.
How did that happen?
How could it happen?
Oh, man. Oh, that's the best audio. That is the best audio. When we come back, sound check. We have your best audio of the day coming up, but I don't know how we top that. I really don't. Although I've got a moment that is going to make you proud when you hear it. Coming back from break, the best audio of the weekend that is not an old couple in Patriots land watching the way that game ended yesterday. When we come back, as I mentioned before, a little sound check.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Fun with audio.
I just recently started getting into podcasts and I was listening to the PGP yesterday. I just wanted to compliment you guys on having probably the wettest show on radio and to just encourage you guys to keep it moist.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Keeping it moist every single morning, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. Thanks so much for joining us. And check it out, the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show each and every week. We'll do one again tomorrow. And then also, you can listen to full episodes of the show that you may have missed or want to hear again, also available on the same iTunes feed. Now, Sunday, it's a doubleheader day and all about the playoffs. Miami takes on Minnesota, and then a huge game with two teams fighting to win their divisions. New England collides with Pittsburgh. The day kicks off for the NFL today, powered by Ram at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
On the ever-emerging CBS Sports Radio Network.
Myron tweets, ha, 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 how could it happen? Ha, 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 ha. Zach tweets, I hope these drops last as long as Mraz's appetite. Hashtag, how did that happen?
How did that happen?
Senor Pantleg tweets, Grandma's How Did That Happen drop has me howling right now. Best soundbite ever. How did that happen?
How did that happen?
The audio of the Patriots household melting down, led by Grandpa.
How could it happen?
How could it happen? Oh, my God.
They won.
Oh, my God.
Is one of the great sound bites we have played in a long time here. Evan tweets, DA, all work at my shop just stopped for about 5 minutes because we were doubled over in laughter. That was the best. Hashtag, how does that happen?
How did that happen?
How could it happen?
How
could, the disgust in his voice. Grandpa, how could that happen?
How could it happen?
I've been watching Patriots football since the AFL days in the 60s. I've never seen a defensive collapse like that. It reminds me of my darkest day of the Great Depression. How could it happen?
They won.
I lost everything, everything, when the stock market crashed. And the only thing that I survive with is Patriots football. This is darker.
How could it happen?
I remember the Dust Bowl well. And then this. How could it happen?
How could it happen?
You should be embarrassed of yourself, Gronk.
They won.
How could it happen?
How could it happen?
Oh, my God. Let's get to your best audio of the day that's not that Patriots household. It's time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
So on How Could It Happen, Gronk answering questions about being the last line of defense yesterday when, you know, he's not that great at running and tackling.
In practice, I played a few times. For the Hail Mary, you guys seen it before. Just go up, get the ball. I mean, but they changed up a little bit. And just ended sucky. Every time we practice it, it's for the Hail Mary, but... got to be ready for anything. It's football. And the way it ended, I mean, it sucked. I mean, never really been a part of anything like that.
So it's really interesting because if Miami hits that Hail Mary, and let's just say that Gronk isn't in the picture, or let's say that Gronk goes up for it, but that the ball comes down not around Gronk and they just catch the Hail Mary, Belichick... Sure, the Patriots lose on a fluky end-of-the-game win, but Belichick's not skewered because it's the right defense. I mean, putting Gronk back there in a Hail Mary situation because he's the biggest guy on the field, has the longest reach, can go up and swat it down, and has been out there before, nobody would question that strategic decision by Belichick. However, in this case, it makes Belichick look like a moron because it's... can't be a Hail Mary. They're from their own 30-yard line. So Tannehill's not going to throw a 70-yard bomb. So it didn't make sense to have Gronk out there because you know it's going to be a lateral type of situation. It has to be. So that moment, Belichick looks like a buffoon. He looks like he made the wrong play. And the one thing that has always saved Belichick in that locker room is players may not like him. They may not like how business-oriented it all is. They might not like how they won't get paid a lot of money. They might not like how they're not allowed to be themselves with a personality. They might not like how they can't say what they really feel at the podium. They might not like all the things that come along with having to play under Bill Belichick, but they have to respect him because he always makes the right coaching decision and always puts them in a position to win. Now, what happens when that part of it goes away? Now, look, you win 5 Super Bowls, 2 more as a defensive coordinator. Maybe it takes a lot more than just that. But remember the inner workings and turmoil of the questioning of Belichick's coaching after the Super Bowl when he benched Malcolm Butler. There was a sense inside the Patriots organization that for the first time in a long time, the Patriots players didn't believe 100% in the decision of their coach. And that if the coach is always about, we're doing what it takes to win, giving our team the best chance at winning a football game, well, benching Malcolm Butler certainly didn't seem to do that, and it cost them a championship. And now you have a scenario where Belichick just looks stupid. I mean, I hate to say it because it sounds crass and ageist, but it just makes him seem like an old coach that's out of it. Right? I mean, there's no sense in having Gronk out there and then
for Kenyon Drake to turn the corner and specifically beat Gronk to the corner, it put it all on blast for everybody. I don't know if this is the type of thing that makes those guys in that locker room think about the Malcolm Butler decision, but it's one of those things that it puts another chink in the armor of the infallibility of coaching decisions by Belichick. You start going, well, boy, if he can make that mistake, maybe not everything he's doing is brilliant anymore. Jim Lampley may have wrapped up a Hall of Fame broadcasting career as HBO had its final boxing telecast over the weekend.
And when I walked away that night, I had to think to myself, why in the world did I get so nervous? And I realized that I got nervous that night because, to me, this was the Holy Grail. You know, this was, to me, as high as you could go to do boxing on HBO. To do a show where you didn't throw to commercial. And if I never work on the air in television again, which is quite possible, I'm cool with that. Because I had a life that far exceeded anything I could have imagined. And every bit of it was an unexpected gift. So that's how I feel tonight. I feel like the beneficiary of a totally unexpected gift. It was great.
Jim Lampley will turn 70 years old coming up in the spring. And if that's his final telecast, Lampley had a hell of a career. I mean, he has done everything and always done it really, really well. Specifically, his hosting on TV, specifically around boxing, has been what has put him over the top. I think he's been very good at other things. That's where he has been great. And the one thing I just really liked hearing from Lampley is gratitude for the opportunities and being appreciative of the life that he lived. I mean, there's a lot of old broadcasters that I see that seem entitled or sometimes embittered or sometimes, you know, frustrated and angry. And you go, man, you have the best job ever. I mean, every single day I come to work, I consider it a gift. Every day. And if it ended tomorrow because they said, DA, it's not working out for you anymore, that's fine. I can go on and do something else. And I would have had an amazing 15-year run here. I like hearing guys like that realize, man, I was really lucky because the guys that get to do this, you don't make it that far unless you work hard. That is very obvious. You have to be good. You have to be smart. You've got to work hard. Maybe outside of Jason Witten. But those things oftentimes go hand in hand. But having gratitude for the opportunities you get is really important because we all get to live this dream. And the old guys that have been there and just feel like, yeah, I deserve all of this, or I was screwed and I should have been more, or whatever, it's just a bummer. And you know the old guy that I'm talking about. But embittered, crusty old broadcasters is like, man, what do you have to gripe about? Guy's got a lot worse than you do, man. A lot worse. So I was happy to hear Lampley say that. And finally, Malaya Emma is a 7-year-old singer. And she handled the national anthem before MLS Cup on Saturday in Atlanta. It was a game won by Atlanta United FC in their second year of existence. 73,000 people inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Falcons play to see an American soccer match for MLS, not a U.S. men's national team. Just awesome. And Atlanta pays off that promise to the city, and Atlanta has a champion. But listen to 7-year-old Malaya Emma, who I think this is the best audio of the weekend.
Red or black, why still there? Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner wave?
Crushed it! That 73,000 people behind her going nuts. She was so good. She's 7 years old. Seven! Look at the high note she hit. Listen to the pitch she hit. Listen to how confident she was. 7 years old. Malaya Emma was just amazing.
If you don't hear that, I got chills again. Every time I've heard that, every time I've watched that, I've gotten chills. If you've got kids around the age of 7, show them this. It happened at MLS Cup over the weekend. And just show them what this little girl does, man. She's got a spirit. She's got a power. She was put on this earth to sing that national anthem. Oh, she was just so phenomenal. So amazing. And you'll love the video, too, because you just see her. You just see her heart come through. I mean, and she's got it. She is just got it. Oh, what a cool moment. And what a great job by MLS to bring her out. And what an amazing... She sang the national anthem before at an MLS game in L.A. and just knocked everybody's socks off. And she got another chance on Saturday and just crushed it. That is your sound check this morning. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Just Google National Anthem MLS Cup, and you'll get that video. And you and the family will love it, I promise you. When we come back here on the show, Jeff Schwartz, NFL analyst, and what we saw yesterday around the league. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.